to say, whoever has a siddur, the Shir Shel Yom Rishon. It's a beautiful perek that I've taught recently. I'm not going to teach it here today, but it is Yom Rishon, and even if you've said it, it's always good to, and a perek from David is always beautiful. Hayom Yom Rishon b'Shabbat shebo ayu ha-Leviim omrim b'Beit HaMikdash. The David Mizmor. L'Adonai ha'aretz umlo'a tevel v'yoshveiva. Ki hu al yamim yesada v'al neharot yechoneneha. Mi yale b'har Adonai u'mi yakum b'mkom kadsho. Niki chapayim uvar levav asher lo nasa l'shav nafshi v'lo nishba l'mirma. Yisa bracha me'et Adonai u'tzdaka me'lohei yisho. Zeh dor dorshav v'vakshei panecha Yaakov selah. שאו שערים ראשיכם וינשאו פתחי עולם ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים ראשיכם ושאו פתחי עולם ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות ומלך הכבוד סלע. Just when I mentioned I've included in after the page on a little bit on YU a newsletter from Matan. I just know where I quote, unfortunately, was a hesped that I quote from this perek, if you'd like to see a little bit of the information on this perek. Rochelle Isero, who passed away, lived in Boston and then came to Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, passed away in the summer. Now, this morning, as I was coming in, I was greeted by two Talmidot of mine that I haven't seen in about, I don't know, 20, 30 years. I don't want to date me or them. But it was a big nachat to see them coming to here, coming together. It's a beautiful asefa of Torah that we're here. And I thank everyone for coming. I thank them for coming. It's a good feeling when you're tell me, don't remember you, and want to learn together with you. I chose for the topic today Satemet, and was thinking what title to give it. I was thinking language of truth, words of truth. I picked words of the Satemet based on the title that he chose for his Svarim, the Satemet. Then after thinking about it a little bit, maybe it's even better, concepts of truth. But you always think after you do something, you think, could it have been better? Maybe that might have been a little bit better. Now I think my Talmidot might be a little surprised that I'm teaching this Svat Emet. 10 years ago, I might have been surprised at myself. Life is a process, and I think we should all develop ourselves. Also in Torah. In Torah, we can sometimes add on. We can sometimes add on. We have to think, do we have enough? And are we delving deeply enough? Are we learning enough? At a certain point, after finishing the Mechlala, and I had a beautiful, wonderful in-depth learning experience in the 3 years that I was at Mechlala. But I truly felt I wanted more in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh, and went about doing it, and Baruch Hashem, making it available in Gemara learning and Tanakh learning at high levels for women. And along with that journey, still learning Gemara and Daf Bat Matan, I just want everyone to know, maybe people will join here in America, we're finishing the Daf HaYomi. You know, everyone now in August is the end. They say 93,000 people are going to come. I don't know how many women, and there must be Ezrat Nashim. In America, it can't be that there won't be an Ezrat Nashim. So, you know, even if you haven't done it, even if you haven't done the Daf Yomi, you can start. You can start towards the end, although they're hard masechtot now, not the most relevant. But like again, in September, it'll be starting again. It's like about an hour a day. We have now 27 women in Matan who'll be completing it. We started 7 years ago with Brachot. I didn't believe they would finish. I didn't believe they would do it. But we have 25 women who will be finishing and really participating in the Daf Yomi because they've learned it, not only along with the others who are there to root or as cheerleaders, so to speak, but as women who are really done all the learning. So I present that challenge to you. It's never too late in that sense. And going back to my point, my main point here, and myself, I felt after doing a lot of Tanakh learning and along with a lot of Tanakh learning, Gemara learning, I still felt something missing, something that maybe didn't reach the neshama as much. And I found that in Chassidut. So it's a beautiful blend. I found that in Chassidut. I happen to enjoy very much this Sfat Emet. I tasted from different of the Hogei Deot in Chassidut. And I want to bring you into this, into my experiences of learning via some concepts of truth from the Sfat Emet. Okay, so if we have our source sheets. And I brought four. I think we'll probably do two, but you'll have the source sheets if you'd like to look it over yourself. Now, in the first what I want to present, and maybe also by way of introduction, the Sfat Emet was the second or third of the Ger Rebbeim. The first was the Chidushei Rim, his grandfather, and then he was the father, Mordechai Avraham, was the father of the Sfat Emet. He died very young, when the Sfat Emet was only 8 years old. He should have been the successor. He should have been the second of the Rebbeim, right? Someone knows the history. He should have been the second. He died very young, and the Sfat Emet at that point was only 18, and they wanted him to be the Rebbe. He refused. He refused, so they brought in, imported from the Alexander Hasidim, someone who was 5 years the Ger Rebbe, and then the Sfat Emet at the age of 23. The age of 23 became the Ger Rebbe, Harav Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter. Alter is all the Ger Rebbeim are Alter. And he was born in 1847. So 23 is about, when you get to 1870, right? 1870 he became the Rebbe and was till he passed away in 1905. So for 35 years, the Sfat Emet was the Ger Rebbe, leading a large community, the large Ger community in southern Poland, and writing on what we have, the Parshiot Shavua. He would write, students would write, shortened versions of talks that he gave over the Shabbat primarily, and Chagim, before the Chagim, during the Chagim, they would be then written down afterwards. He would write it down, look it over sometimes, when he had an opportunity. And also he wrote Chidushim on the Gemara, Chidushim on the Talmud, also the Sfat Emet. So really a very prolific and influential Hasidic leader for Am Yisrael. I brought first the Gemara, a little Gemara that I think we all know, if we may not know it's a Gemara, it's a Gemara in Masechet Megillah, it should be Amud Bet, I'm sorry, instead of Tekir Gimel. And this is the Gemara. V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchak, Im yomar lecha Adam, yagati v'lo matzati. Right? I have worked hard, and I wasn't successful. I didn't find the answer, so to speak. Al tamen, don't believe him. Lo yagati u'matzati. I didn't work hard. It was a breeze, and I found everything. I was successful in everything. Also, al tamen. Yagati, but if he says to you, Yagati umatsati, I worked hard And I found it. I found the answers. I was successful. Amen. Then believe him. And right, we all, right, you're all, many of you are familiar with this. And it seems, you know, to tell us that hard work, efforts, bring with it success. Right? You will work hard at something, and you will bring your success, right, by your hard work. Right? You will bring to yourself the success, if it's in Torah, if it's in other things, it's not here limited. The Gemara discusses it a little bit. And we're dealing with the Sata Metz view on this, and he really focuses on this Yagati Umatsati. Okay, that's our first theme here. And then this is from Toldot, where he brings into, he weaves it in so beautifully into the parashat when he sees a place where he can bring this idea to light. And it's found, I mean, I brought this because it's, if not in every parashat, this idea of Yagati Umatsati and the Sata Metz take on that is found many, many times. It just happened to be 2 weeks ago, I found it again in a very beautiful presentation by the Sfat Emet, and I want to share it with you. V'yiten lecha ha'elokim. This is in the bracha that Yaakov received, Yitzhak thinking him to be Esav, right? And the special bracha that he receives. In Toldot. All right, good here. Here, v'yiten lecha Elokim mital ha'shamayim u'mishmanei ha'aretz v'rov dagan v'tirosh. Okay, and Rashi there, the second part of the Rashi, let me quote it exactly, but he says, u'b'Rashi u'b'Midrash, Rashi quoting from the Midrash Tanhuma, im tiskeh. Meaning, it's not an automatic that Hashem gives it to you. It's not unconditional. But it's, I wanted to read the Rashi exactly, because it says, V'yiten lecha ha'elokim, right? And we know that Elokim is din, right? Yud kei vav kei is rachamim, chesed, rachamim, and Elokim is din. So really, V'yiten lecha, if it's something unconditional, it should be yud kei vav kei. What's this V'yiten lecha ha'elokim? Right? Mahu Elokim b'din. Im ra'ui lecha, yiten lecha. Right, means Rashi, this Fatima says Tiskeh, he kind of quotes Rashi and doesn't paraphrase. Im ra'ui lecha yiten lecha, v'im lav lo yiten lecha. Right, aval le'esav amar mishmanei ha'aretz yemo shavecha. Esav, it's not dependent, it's not conditional on his actions. With Yaakov, with Bnei Yisrael, it's contingent. Right, there's a contingency clause by this word Elokim. It'll depend on our actions. It'll be im tiskeh, then Hashem will give you mikal ha'shamayim u'mishmanei ha'aretz. Right? Now, the Sfat Emet question here, im tiskeh, v'hine, v'yitein humatana. Why should that be? Yitein means that it's a gift. Why should a gift, do you give a gift that's conditional, contingent upon something? Do you give a gift? You give a gift to someone, that's it. Once you give it, you've given it. Right? And you give it out of your love for the person, and it's not a gift just in the very essence of the word, a gift. A gift is something that you give that's not conditional. The word matana, latet, you give. Right? Biten, hu matana. Imken, hu amatana, sheye, gamken, alpidin. But this gift is contingent. This gift there is a condition to it. Kumoshe katafti kama pamim. He himself says this is a concept, this is a theme that I've expounded on several times in Bereshit and other, and many of the other Chumashim as well, many of the other Parshiot. B'shem Morizal. Morizal, what he says, and Moriz Keni, is his grandfather, who he really learned a lot of. They raised him, his grandparents, by the way, when he was eight, he had lost his mother even before his father had died. So when he was 8 years old, his grandparents, the Ger Rebbe at that time, who still was a Ger Rebbe for for 8 to, he was 18, another 10 years, and he was living in his grandparents' home. So he quotes quite often, Maurice Kenny, Bi'ur Mashakatuv Yagati Umatsati. Right, that I want to expound on this idea of a gift, a conditional gift, a gift that depends on our actions. How can that be? Why should that be? And he connects it to Yagati Umatsati. Hagam ki mitzia hi sheba'a behesech hadat. Ve'ech shayach yagati umatsati. He's saying, on the one hand, vayitain doesn't really go along with Elohim. It doesn't go along with din. Yitain should be unconditional. Now let's look at yagati umatsati. Right, the way we interpret it, you'll put in a lot of efforts, and you will find the answers. You will find the success. Now, Mitziah, the Sfatemet, takes the Gemara's interpretation and the interpretation that really is found in even in biblical sources and definitely in Gemara sources. When you say a Mitziah, Matzati, Inei Matzati, or Eilu Mitziot, right, from Baba Mitziah. Matzati. Is that something that after a lot of hard work you find it? No. No, it's Hesech Hadat. What is Hesech Hadat? Mitziah is something that comes the Hesech Hadat. By chance, inadvertently. Even I looked at the dictionary because I just wanted to make sure, absent-mindedly. Hesech Hadat is absent-mindedly. So the Sfat Emet puts the words together and he says, Yagati, I'm working hard, and Behesech Hadat, and then my Mitziah, and then I find something inadvertently? What do you mean inadvertently? I'm finding it, I'm getting at it because I put in all those hours. And I'm getting to the solutions, and I'm getting to the root of it, and I'm getting to the success because Yagati. Sfatemet says no. That's specifically why the word Matzati was used, to tell us it's not that. It seems very, you know, Yagati Matzati. I mean, I definitely learned it that way 50 some years and thought of it that way till seeing the Sfatemet. Right? Yagati Matzati. But the Sfatemet now says no, and really bases himself on interpretations of Matzati, literal interpretations of the word Matzati, Behesech Hadat. And there's even a Gemara that says three things come Behesech Hadat, and one of them being the Mitziah. A Mitziah is something you find. You find by chance, someone said, right? You find inadvertently. So how could it be Yagati Matzati? You put in all those effort, it's not inadvertently, it's not by chance, it's because of all those hours and all the time that we spent working on this project and trying to find the solution. Okay, so what is the Sfat Emet continues? Rak shebe'emet ein erech sheyuchal adam bekoach yigiyato lahasig dvar Hashem. First of all, he focuses here, I was saying, and I think I've taken it in my life to expand not only dvar Hashem, but the Sfat Emet focuses on dvar Hashem. Yagati b'torah, yagati b'dvar Hashem. And then the person thinks, matzati. I found the solution. I found the emet, in a sense. And the Sfat says, no. No, the Sfat, the emet came to you, the Hesech Hadat. The emet came to you from a koach above. It didn't come to you directly connected and directly stemming from your effort, your yigia. But it was yagati, nachon, I did work hard, and I did put those hours in, and I put those efforts in, but what I'm arriving at is way beyond. Matzati. I found something that came further than, that came inadvertently to me beyond, not in direct proportion, even beyond the efforts that I put in. Because I worked as a human being. I worked and I toiled and I labored and on understanding the Gemara and understanding the Tanakh and understanding the halacha, on understanding the Machshavat Yisrael, umatzati. And then Hashem comes, the Metziah is something that comes from above and gives us a inspiration and gives it to us in a higher form. Right? We have to prepare ourselves, yagati. It just doesn't come to anyone. So if someone tells you, lo yagati matzati, I didn't do anything and I was just inspired and I know this, don't believe it. You have to do your effort. You have to put in your effort in everything. But don't think that it's only because of your effort. Your efforts are to prepare you. Here, look what he says here. Rak shebeschal hayigia notnim lo b'matana uvederech mitziyah v'divrei pi chacham chen. Whenever he wants to say, and I really like this idea, he writes, they see it sometimes, dalit pei chet chet. That these are words of wisdom that he's also quoting from his grandfather. He's not, right, the ideas and concepts, he expounds them, but he brings them from the Chidush Erim, that this is, the Yigiyah is a preparation. It's a preparation, and then as a reward for the Yigiyah, Hashem will come and bring it as a Mitziyah, bring it as something that we wouldn't have found ourselves. And that's a haftacha from Hashem. That's a haftacha from Hashem. And this is how he brings it back here, also in the Vayitain and the Elohim. Right? That there has to be a din. There has to be things that the person has to work on. Right? But don't think because you did it, necessarily it's going to come. Don't think so. You have to remember it's much more staying in tune with the kesher to Hashem than only the kesher of a person doing it and reaping reward. Right? You're gonna put in, and then that's a lot in Chassidut. That's a lot in Chassidut in our everyday lives. In whatever we do, we put in the effort. But then matzati, we have to realize that it's not kochi ve'otzem yadi. It's not that we necessarily came up with the solution, but somehow through this yigiyah, we merited receiving divine inspiration from Hashem. Now, I understand it, and I've kind of expounded on it that in a lot of other things. You know, sometimes a person, a work of art or music, you know, and you work and you work and you work and you put in that work and it's not exactly. I remember I was once at a shiur that Aviva Zornberg gave, and I think she said, and then the person kind of left it and came back the next day and all of a sudden some kind of an inspiration came and they were able to finish that the sonata or the music, right? And alachat kama v'kama. The same kind of a way, something else, like we have to, it's our job, yagati, but this mitziyah, when we do understand Torah well, when we do have a hatzlacha, we have to realize that it's a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think, I've been thinking about these things, even in women's learning, you know, it was really, we put in a lot of the early time, we don't remember, we put in a lot of effort and a lot of, you know, that women should be doing learning. There should be a Beit Midrash. I mean, when I was growing up, Beit Midrash was somewhere only men went into. And I just, it didn't make sense. Why shouldn't women also talk about Torah, be in dialogue with Torah, Chavruta, do it in a much more active way? And we put in a lot of Yigiyah. And then, but then you have to have the bracha from Hashem. It's not only our yigiyah. That's the beginning. That's the basis. We have to do the yigiyah. But then remember, like the Gemara in Megillah is saying, remember that the highest level will be matzati. I have found something beyond. It's come, you know, not really inadvertently or absentmindedly, but it's come from a higher source. It's come not in a direct way. Not as a direct, not directly commensurate, but beyond, which is beautiful. Because here Hashem is promising us, right, you put in your effort, right, you put in your, And like you say, Halokim b'din. Halokim, you have, but we have din, we have the Torah, we have mitzvot. But then Vayitain doesn't have to be what Hashem is going to give us, but then Hashem promises, V'hayayim Shemoa. If you're going to listen, then will come the rain and this Hashem. It's a gift from Hashem. We can't say, oh, it came because I did so many mitzvot, I'm doing so well. No, you did a lot of mitzvot, and you did a lot of whatever you did, but then the mitziah and the bracha and the matana came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, not here in this, but I connected it with another concept, a beautiful concept from the Sfat Emet, which also the Rav Huttner, Zatzal, both of them, right, we're saying Zatzal and all the Gdolim, both of them speak about this. Rav Huttner was later than, was of course many years after the Sfat Emet, but he expands this idea on this idea of having a matana, that we have a gift from Hashem, right, and a bracha from Hashem, and it's conditional upon our masim. Right? Now, wouldn't it be better to just have a bracha not conditional? Right? Why should it be dependent on our actions? In a sense, it's almost not fair. Esav, whatever Hashem will give him, even if he doesn't do the mitzvot, maybe a little bit the Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach or whatever. And Yaakov, v'yitzen chelokim. Right? There's mishpat, there's din, there's mitzvot. You got it, right? You got to deserve it. You got to deserve it for Hashem to give you his bracha. He can give his bracha without us deserving it. No, wouldn't it be better? And what the Sfat Emet and Rav Huttner in his essay around Shavuos, and Shavuos also very beautifully, they speak about the Sfat Emet, the world was created basara mamarot. Right? Then 26 generations later came Aseret HaDibrot. And he said, the first 26 generations, it was Vayiten Lecha Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. There were no mitzvot, really, a little one here, one there, but you didn't have the Torah and the Taryag mitzvot. And it was a matana of chesed. But a matana of chesed, and the Sfat Emet brings a beautiful Gemara from Arla. He brings that if a person eats what's not his, he's ashamed to look at the person in the face. You want to have something that you did, that you deserve it, that it's yours. Right? So Hashem gave us, the Asara Mamarot turned into Asara HaDibrot. The world is a different world now. There's a different different scope, a different way that the world is running, a different method that Hashem is running the world after Aseret HaDibrot. And the Sfat Emet calls it, it's a matana shel din. It's a matana, but now we're going to deserve the matana. Hashem will give us a method to deserve it, but we have to realize, okay, we deserve it, but it's still, Hashem has to make that final decision and that final giving. It's still a matana. It's not that it's ours. Right? Ayayim Shamoa. We have to listen, and Hashem tells us that I'm going to give you the matana. And the Asara Mamarot become Aseret HaDibrot, because that way Hashem felt that was a better way to run the world. To let man have a share. Let man do the preparation. Let man have something that he deserves. That he deserves, and he realizes that it's a bracha from Hashem. What he gets, when he gets something beyond what he really could get. And even in any bracha that he can't bring on for himself. And that's Yagati Matzati. Now here, this is part of it I said here. Kine yesh ma'ala b'matana b'chesed elyon, shehu b'li shi'ur ki yad ha-melech. It's wonderful, as I said, when you can get something kiyad ha-melech and you don't have to work for it, right? No limit to it. You don't have to deserve. You don't have to do anything for it. It's wonderful. But yesh chisaron demande achir lav delay behud las tukule. When it's you're eating not of yours, you can't look at the person. You don't feel any connection to it, right? Lachain, this here I think is a crucial line here. Lachain sider Hashem, right? Hashem in his infinite wisdom and his running of the world, the way he runs his world, the concepts that he brings and the methodology. Sider Hashem, he organized the organization, how he orchestrates how the world should run. He organized it. Prepared it. Yitbarach, Hashem Yitbarach, sheyu shneihem ke'echad, that they're together. Sheyisteh adam, man should really deserve it via the mitzvot and the learning and the chesed and everything that he does. Sheyisteh b'masav liyot muchan lekabel hamatana, to be ready to get that extra special matana from Hashem. I want to skip a little bit and go down. You see the little 19? Little 19? That the, you know what, maybe not. Maybe I'll, because I want to do one more theme. You could read more. You could read more on your own. Just expanding this theme, I do want to do, right till 10:30 we have? Because I know there's another speaker, till 10:30, okay. I want to do the second theme as well. Theme number three, C. I called it Be'er, and I've just been kind of blown away by a lot of Be'er, a lot of Shidduchim that happened by the Be'er, right? I'm not going to really talk about that, but if we realize, right, the biblical matchmaking, a lot of action there around the Be'er. But what I want to talk about more is a little bit the symbolism. When Yaakov comes, right, he's in last week's Parsha, right, this is the Per Shabbos of Parsha, Vayetze, right, he's had this beautiful dream, the Malachim, up and down, realizing Manorah, Makomazeh, the Kedusha, what he's in, and then that Hashem promises him, don't worry, you'll have to leave Eretz Yisrael, but Hashivoti, you'll come back. He's really very, very inspired, very buoyant, very, you know, now he's ready. He wasn't a young man, you know, I mean, he wasn't so young. He was about 77, according to the Seder Olam Rabbah. And so, you know, it's about time he has to get started with his life, you know, right? So you should think. Anyway, but he's now prepared, 14 years for Shem Ve'Ever, you know, where she went. And now he realizes he's going to find, he'll find somebody, he's coming. He's really very, very, very spiritually, everything ready to move on, okay? And what does it say there? I brought the psukim for you. Vayisa Yaakov raglav, everyone comments, because it really should have just said vayelech, right? Indicating also he's going, v'simcha, and this, he's realizing, you know, now I'm going to do it, now it's going to happen. Vayelech alta b'nei kedem, he's going eastward, that's where his mother and father, right? They told him, you have to go to Lavan, you have to go east, Haran, you know, right, kedem. Vayal, and he looks, vayal. And, you know, like as if the Torah, you know, has to tell us everything he sees, you know, whatever. Vinei be'el basadeh. He sees this, right, the well in the field. Vinei sham shloshay dreitzon rovtzim alea. We'll take note of this. Three flocks of sheep. Now, a flock, I was thinking, how many sheep are in a flock? What would you think? Because we're not talking about three sheep, right? He says, edre. I'd say at least 20, no? I think probably more, 50, I don't know, 20, let's say, right, whatever you want to say. Right, and there, so three of these groups, right, three flocks of sheep are standing by this be'er. Kimina be'er hahi, hahu, no, hahi, sorry, yashku ha'adarim, because that's where, you know, it was like the, I guess, the local be'er for a bunch of different areas, right, they're congregating there. Yashku adarim, ve'even agdola al pi ha'be'er, and there's that big stone, right? So Yaakov sees this. Now, what does it say? It tells us it's kind of, I would almost put this parenthetically. Like, what? Why are they there? Why are they waiting? What's happening? What has to happen? V'nesafu shama kol ha'adarim. It's not enough three. Like, you have to have 10 at least. I don't know, maybe more. You know, there aren't numbers here exactly, right? Nesafu shama kol ha'adarim. That's what happens every day, or I guess the animals have to drink every day, so it should happen every day. Vigalulu et ha'eben, me'al pi ha'be'er, because it's very heavy, you can't lift it, right? Vishku et ha'tzon, ve'shivu et ha'eben al pi ha'be'er limkoma. And then they can take the stone off, you know, and give water to the flock and whatever else I guess they need, and then put it back on. Right, and then, okay, and this is what he sees, and then he sees that some shepherds come, and this, and right, Rachel comes, and this, and the whole thing there. Okay, but this introduction is pretty long. You know, he's at the well, and he's this, and he doesn't have to tell us how many shepherds are, and then he tells them, right, why aren't you giving your flock to drink and go? No, we have to have all of them. Right, and then the Ramban beautifully, we're going to look at the end of the Ramban, but I brought the beautiful Ramban here. He's saying that if there were three flocks, each flock had to have at least three shepherds, right? I would say one in the beginning, one in the end. If you have 20, 30 sheep, right, so you already have about 10 people there. Right, you already have from the watching the sheep, maybe even more. Also, no numbers are given. And all of these 10 people can't lift it, right? In the end, Yaakov, with his koach, that he's coming now from the Chalom and the Marino Rama Komazeh and the Havtacha from Hashem, and seeing Rachel, right? He gets such koach that he himself, right, has the ability to lift that stone. And the Ramban says this is one of the reasons we're told all this. We're told all this to show what koach now and what kaveh Hashem yachlifu koach, how Yaakov had such a hope and faith in Hashem and such a connection to Hashem that he got this koach that what would have taken 50 people, approximately, I don't know, you know, exactly, would have taken many, many people, all right, and he sees Rachel and his future and Am Yisrael and whatever, you know, this, and he gives him the koach that he could lift well. But what does the Ramban tell us, the symbolism of the well and the Shlosha Darim, right? So look in the middle of the Ramban. I'll tell you where it is. V'chol ha'inyan. It's like about seven lines down after a comma. V'chol ha'inyan ha'mesupar kan. Why is this all, why is it the arichut here, right? Why is this the going into such detail? Okay? Lodio sheyatzliach b'derech hazeh v'yetzei mimenu zera zocheh l'remez zeh. That it's a remez. It's something that's symbolic to Yaakov and to Am Yisrael in the future, and that we will merit to live up to this symbolism that the well is giving to Yaakov and giving to us. Right afterwards, we're reading in the Torah. What do we learn from this? Ki ha'be'er yirmoz lebeit hamikdash. Not a little puny well there that they just fed the animals and maybe the people. And they went, no, this is a really deep well. And the waters are the waters of Ruach HaKodesh, the waters of the Avodah Beit HaMikdash, HaBe'er Yomoz Beit HaMikdash. Now, three, that's what I told you, pay attention. Shlosha Dreitzon Olei Shlosha Regalim. Right, I live in the old city of Yerushalayim. So I keep waiting, you know. And we sit, first of all, we have a lot already. You can't move. I don't touch my car, you know. We don't touch it. Is everybody coming, right? The shlosha, that in the future there will be shlosha dreitzon around the be'er of right avodat Hashem, the be'er of the kedusha, the beit hamikdash. Oh, that's one remez. Shemisham ayu shoavim ruach hakodesh. Oh, or maybe there's another remez here in the be'er for the future of Am Yisrael. Oshiyomoz kimitzion tetzay Torah, right? This is the well of Matan Torah, right? The shenim shalal mayim, right? Ein Torah lemayim, ein mayim ela Torah. Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. V'nasafu shama kol ha'adarim, right? From all the places, all the v'galulu et ha'even. Shemishamayu, even like this is at right, certain times in the Beit HaMikdash, even the further nations from Egypt, from wherever would come. Also the Umim in Sukkot. There were karbanot that also the foreign nations brought, right? The parot representing the foreign nations that also come under the at least the acceptance of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael as the Am Nifchar. Shemishama yushovim ruach hakodesh veyishivu te'eved umunach beregel haba. Then they, right, they have to return the Evan, go home at the Olei Regel and come another time. Beautiful, really beautiful, beautiful Ramban. What I want to show is the additional strata that the Sfat Emet adds. If you think you read this Ramban, you see the symbolism, you see what's happening, you see it's the well for Yaakov, right? And that's where he'll meet Rachel, and of course, right, Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, right? And everything we explained in the Pshutosho Devar, Pshutosho Lamikra. But Bechozot, right? In the sense of Bechozot, why is it written? Why such depth? Why such detail given here? And we have beautiful, really, we have two very beautiful answers from the Ramban based on the Midrash. And I want to show the additional layer, that Hasidut adds to this interpretation. So if you'll turn the page and join me on a few choice, and I picked three probably out of 10. Because I think here, it's very interesting that the Sfat Emet, we think of sometimes our own Jewish writing and Parshanim or even Hasidic writing as something, I don't know, a parochial or something closed in a sense. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. That there's a great openness, a great width, besides a breadth, besides the depth. And using really, I think, very, if you think, because this is about 150 years ago, very innovative literary methods of symbolism and an introspective symbolism. And this is the, using that word introspective, I think something of the element that the Sfat Emet adds. And I think what I was talking about, what I've found in reading Hasidut, that there's a more of a connection to the inner me, the inner neshama, that I don't disconnect from the outer world, and that doesn't close me up, but really opens to so many other elements in the world. Now, so if we look at the Sfat Emet, the first is, I think it's the first year he wrote, Tavresh Lamed Bet, maybe some years he wrote Tavresh Lamed Aleph. The book, the Sfat Emet, just so I'm a little more familiar, there's a parsha, and then in each parsha, it's many different years in what he said. So a lot of times there could be bits of repetition because it's the same parsha, and he said it in different years. But it isn't a really full repetition. There's always something a little bit different in each year, and sometimes he'll build on something, and it's a very interesting way that it was done. I mean, I have no shares in the Sfat Emet. Nobody has to do anything. I'm just make it a little bit more familiar and see how he does it, and show you why he has the different years. It's one parsha, but they're different years that he said and recorded different of his Torah. Okay, so he says, Vayar v'nei be'er v'sadeh hulei gimel et reitzon v'nesafu sham kol adarim v'chinazo. This aspect of the well, the depths of water, v'chinazo nimtza b'chol davar u'b'chol ish Yisrael. It's not only the Beit HaMikdash. It's not only Har Sinai that are meta-historical Jewish events, right? It's every day, and every person has a Be'er. And that Be'er symbolizes the, if we call it, divine inspiration, in a sense connecting with this idea of the Matana and the Bracha coming divinely from Hashem, right? It's that within each person, there's a Be'er. I'm saying this is what Yaakov, in a sense, came in touch with his Be'er. That this is what he saw the Be'er. I'm not saying that this is all a vision and a dream. He saw the Be'er. But what did the Be'er symbolize to him? What was that? What did it tell him? Why did he see the Be'er? In thinking about it, then he even says here, Bechol Davar u'Bechol Ish. Now, I think there's a point. Davar, it's also something that you might think is unimportant, but in every matter, not literally everything, every matter in every person of Yisrael, Yesh Bechol Davar Nekuda Hanotenet Chayim u'Mechayeh Hadavar Hahu, bringing life, bringing, right, the source of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the source of of success, of life, of Torah, of something divine, something beyond. Zehu habe'er basadeh. Af ma she'nireh v'nidmeh lehefker kasadeh. Right, he says he's like medayek, you know, in his symbolism and in his interpretation, be'er basadeh, could have just said be'er, right? What's this be'er basadeh? Because even something you may think, this be'er basadeh, they come, they're roim, they're darim, they're this, that, what is a big deal? No, but if he sees it, and he's looking at it, and it's something that he's coming to, and he's going to start the next chapter in his life, he has to be in touch. Why did he see this? Why did his feet take him to this place in the Be'er Basadeh and the Shloshadrim? This has to have meaning for him. And it connects him to that internal Be'er, that internal source of Torah, the internal source of Ruach HaKodesh. So I put this after the Ramban. You have to learn Rashi, you have to learn Ramban and Ibn Ezra, v'chule, right? But I think it's also nice to look at something Hasidic, to look at something that connects it to something more personal. I think that's the word I was looking for, maybe a little bit. Something more personal and more internal to each human being. And I think it's not something like, look, the Midrash says, this whole idea of each person being a Mikdash Ma'at. Right? We have the big Beit HaMikdash, which, right, unfortunately now we don't have right now standing, but right, there is the concept of the Beit HaMikdash, Bayit Shlishi, Bezrat Hashem. And we have the Mikdash Ma'at, and that's the Be'er. That's the Be'er, in a sense, also, I was thinking like right before he's going to go with Rachel and Leah and Lavan, it's not going to be easy for Yaakov, right? Right? Many tzarot that Yaakov had to have. But he somehow gets that nourishment, gets that symbolism from Hashem that don't worry, right? The Be'er doesn't dry up. Right, the Be'er doesn't dry up. You have that Be'er within you, and it's going to give you the life-giving force, the divine force that you need within yourself. Right? Shekol ha'adam yuchal argish v'leidazo tamid sechel. I'm sorry. The sechel ha'adam yuchal argish, that you can sense this, right? Because all right, how do we know this Be'er that's inside us? But your sechel, your being, your intelligence, your mind, right? Lagish leidazo tamid v'zehu. One of the senses, the gimel edreitzon, chokma bina v'dat. Three different types of sechel, right? The chokma, the bina, the dat. Bina going in greater depth, the dat, broader knowledge, chokma. So chokma v'sechel mevin ha'adam zot. Hapnimiyut shebechol davar. It's also a word the Sfatimet uses a lot. The pnimiyut, right? The inner sense, the inner self. Shebechol davar yesh koach hapoel v'nif'al. That inner pnimiyut that really activates the person in a spiritual plane, right? In each being. Ah, right. The pasuk goes on. It doesn't end with the be'er basadeh. Ach v'ha'even agdola al pi be'er. Hayno shemitpashet b'gashmiyut yesh hester. We can't always be in touch. Could they get the water out of the bear? Could the Adarim, could people just come over? No, how does the bear work? There's that big stone on top of it. Right? There's certain gashmiyut, the certain forces that are at work, you know, kind of trying to block, right? Trying to block our in-depth further rising in the levels of Torah, of Yirat Shemayim, of connection to Hashem. We have to realize there's that, right, the Evan Agdolal Pi Abel Behu Le'esof V'Eitza. And then, right, okay, so we have this the Be'er. We want to get to the Be'er and to the Mayim Chayim that are in the Be'er, but we have this big Evan. We have the big Evan, but the Pasuk also tells us, how do you get rid of it? What's the word? Baha'itza? Ne'asafu. You have to gather. And here, the Sfatimet, I'll just, you read it on in yourself, but beautifully, beautifully, ne'asafu. Right? That all the, you have to have all the adarim. It's not enough the three shepherds and flocks that are there, or whatever, how many were there. Ne'asafu kola adarim. If you want to get that block off, if you want to get to the Be'er, if you want to get to the Be'er that's inside you, Nesafu. So he says in two ways. Nesafu is, right, gather together. So first, a gathering of the person. that you have to gather all your ratzonot and all your kochot, gather up, right? Kind of also, it's a play on words using that, you know, how beautifully he uses, intertwines. It's Hasidic Torah. But he really connects to the words of the pasuk. It's not something bavir. That's, I think, what I found also that I appreciated this Fatemet a lot, because it wasn't something very removed and not connected. But the Nesafu, we have to gather together, gather ourselves. You know, it's something that we use, right? We gather our energy, gather our kochot, gather our strength to take off whatever is blocking, so that we should be able to go further, right, in our levels of serving Hashem. Right? The Nesafu, that's one. And then, so beautifully, beautifully, in the end of this, of the Keta, Nesafu is everybody together. Like we're all here learning Torah. Nesafu, that Am Yisrael, when Am Yisrael gathers together, when everyone is together doing things for Am Yisrael, then that koach will enable you to take off the bear. We'll take off the Evan, right? Get to, right? Take off the Evan Agdolah. When you have the Nesafu, so you have first the personal, right? The personal Nesafu, and then the national, right? It's not only, each person has to work, but each person has to be connected to everyone else in Am Yisrael. And when that happens, when there's a, right, Am Yisrael, the Yichan, when Am Yisrael, when everyone's right, then we get the Torah, when we're all together, when we're all one. And he sees this, the Sfatimet sees this in this word, Vines Safu. Then you read the story, and there you're going in a well, and three, and here, and this, right? And he's going in there, and he meets Rachel. But really, this kind of a very avant-garde type of symbolism and reaching into personal spheres that the Sfatimet sees in this Be'er and in the Evan, what the Evan can symbolize, and the Nesafu, I think the Nesafu also of gathering together each one his individual kochot, knowing your kochot, working on those kochot, and then realizing, but I alone will not be able to do it, right? Nesafu, I'm going to gather together with everybody, and that together we'll be able to lift the Be'er, and Be'met Nesafu will be able to lift the Be'er, come to Beit HaMikdash, and right, and Mashiach Matzeinu. Thank you very much. We'll give up the time.